This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So for the ladies online, it is recording. So yeah, you might want to stay off camera, inshallah, just for your own modesty. Inshallah. All right. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Verily all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within ourselves and the evil consequences of our evil actions. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whoever is led astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. He is alone and has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear sisters, nice to see you all and jazakallah khair for returning the greetings of peace. It's nice to be here in Masjid As-Salam, beautiful Berkeley/Wollongong area, fresh air, mountains, blue skies, lakes, and you know, beautiful scenery here, subhanAllah. It's a different, definitely a different energy. And welcome to the sisters tuning in online. Just feel free to write in the comments where you're tuning in from. I can see a couple from Sydney. We've got sisters from Melbourne, maybe Perth as well. I think my mum's watching. So. Alhamdulillah. So apologies, I'm a bit sinusy. I was sick for the last few days, but alhamdulillah, things settled today. But probably my brain and my voice is not as clear as usual. So today's topic, inshallah ta'ala, is Chantel and I just came up with it randomly. We bump ideas back and forth, alhamdulillah, throughout the year, over the last few years. And we thought about where is your focus, because she was talking about how sisters, you know, struggling after Ramadan, you feel that bit of post-Ramadan slump. And then it's like, where am I? What do I want? How do I get that feeling again? It's the struggle to prioritize, which I think is a constant one. And then, you know, we kind of tied into the topic of where is your focus with, you know, to coincide with us wanting to achieve focus in our life and focus on what we know to be the true priorities in life, and to face and address some of those things that we struggle to focus on, and the reasons why we struggle to focus, and then maybe gain some tips and ideas as to how to focus or what we should focus on, inshallah ta'ala. And we know that, you know, the fastest way to a destination is in a straight line. Yeah, and we don't want to go on tangents and zigzags. And there's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he drew a line in the sand, and then he drew these branching lines coming off that straight line. He said, this is my straight path, and these other diverging paths are the paths of the shaitan, all the paths of misguidance, and at the head of each of those paths of misguidance is a shaitan. So we're constantly being called to stray from the straight path, stray from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to at least 17 times a day. Inshallah, consciously we ask for that. So we have a lot of distraction. We have a lot of pulling us off that straight path, whether it's our energy, our time, our focus, our intentions, our desires. And it's very important that we're aware of those diverging paths so that we can get ourselves back on track again, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ Allah says, there are signs of God all around us, but most people turn away. And there are many signs in the heavens and the earth that they pass by and give no heed to. So there are signs around us all the time. Signs calling us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs calling us to prioritize our lives, but we often don't see the signs. We're often heedless, blind, numb, inattentive, And so when we look at this topic of focus, we want to be able to be people who have our energy gathered, so we have focus on collecting and noticing the signs that are trying to call us back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the paths of focus, the things that we can focus on so that we don't diverge and get distracted from the path. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that you will gain nothing from your prayer except what you focus on. You will get nothing from your prayer except which you focus on. If your focus in prayer is getting it over and done with, then you will get it over and done with. If you focus in your prayer on just trying to recite Quran really well, then inshallah, that's what you'll get out of it. If your focus in prayer is Allah and communicating with Him and having a dialogue with Him, then that's what you will inshallah get out of it. But likewise, this quote, I chose this quote because I wanted you to relate it to life as well. This wise quote by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So he said, you will gain nothing from your prayer except what you focus on. I want now you to replace prayer with life. You will gain nothing from your life except what you focus on. You will gain nothing from your life except what you focus on. If you have no focus, what will you get out of life? If you have nothing that you focus on, what will you get out of life? Nothing. If you are focused on poor quality things, misguided things, wrong things, evil things, then what will you get out of your life? Those will be your fruits. If you select very carefully what you focus on, then inshallah ta'ala, you will get that out of it. So relate that to your life. There's a quote by Seneca, who 2,000 years ago, he was a Stoic philosopher. What's a Stoic? Someone who doesn't get emotional about things. They deal with it and they try to be really practical. And here's how we find the solutions. Here's how we cope with things. You can take wisdoms from non-Muslim philosophers, so long as they don't conflict with our Islamic teachings, so long as we're not taking spiritual teachings from them, right? Just different reminders. So Seneca says, look back in memory and consider how many have robbed you of life when you were not aware of what you were losing. How much was taken up in useless sorrow, in foolish joy, in greedy desire, in the allurements of society? How little of yourself was left to you? You will perceive that you are dying before your season. If you're on your deathbed and you look back, what will you regret when you look back? You will look back and you'll regret every sin you committed. You'll regret the time you wasted playing and having fun and in entertainment. Why did I spend so much time in entertainment? I should have been reading, studying, praying, learning, right? Worshipping. In greedy desire. Sorry, someone's microphone is not muted. Yep. Hang on 1 second. You'll look back and you'll say how much time was spent in useless sorrow. Sorry.
Maybe.
There it is. Got it. So how much time was spent in useless sorrow? What did you used to cry about in life and you realize at the end of your life, I shouldn't have cried, I shouldn't have complained, I should have just gotten on with it. The allurements of society, worrying about what the Joneses have, or thinking about piling up the dunya or your worldly aspirations, you'll regret, you'll look back and go, I was dying before my death even, because those pursuits are futile. So I want to ask you all, how is your focus? How is your focus? Anyone want to share? What does your focus feel like these days? Who feels unfocused? Let's relax it a little bit. Who feels unfocused a lot? Like they feel distracted, overwhelmed, confused, yeah? Just too many things. Yep. Who has always done well or they feel really good with their focus? Like when I have a task, I get it done. There's a couple of you, yep, get things done, alhamdulillah. Sometimes it's a temperament too and a personality type. You're able to just hone in and get done what needs to get done and isolate your tasks. Majority of the room said they're struggling with their focus. And this is a very common struggle in today's times, subhanAllah. They say the attention span now, the average human is 8 seconds, which is less than a goldfish. MashaAllah, we have not evolved, we've devolved. Yeah, the animals are outdoing us in their ability to concentrate. Something as insignificant as a goldfish can concentrate for longer than us. We get distracted. I'll tell you an interesting research about that. So you have to ask yourself, how is your focus and what's going on? Okay, a lot of us will struggle to focus on one task at a time. Often you have multiple tabs open on your laptop, your phone's beeping and buzzing, and you're going between apps on there as well at the same time, and your kid's trying to ask you a question, mom, and you're just in all these places, and your head is like, I have all these tabs open in my head as well as my laptop, as well as my phone, as well as what the kids need, house needs, mashallah, so many things, more than ever before. As much as we've got all these technological advancements to help us, so-called help us, we're spread more thin than ever. Once upon a time, before all the technological help, people used to, the women used to have to scrub their clothes a traditional way, grind the grain, right, by hand, make the bread. But that, we look at that now and go, we think, gosh, Pamela, that looks, sounds relaxing to have the leisure to just do things the traditional way, Pamela. Some of our, you know, grandmothers or our mothers, they give us stories about how things used to be. Now we have all the conveniences and less time than ever. Like, I know myself, sometimes I'm like, I'm struggling. I'm like, I need to take the lint out of the dryer in between, and I just don't have time because the washing goes there, my shoes, I get in the car, bags, kids, everything. That's how time poor we are, subhanAllah. So our focus is in more of a struggle than ever before. We have all these things running in the background. You know, on your computer, they say you have to defragment it every now and then because there's too many things open and running. And sometimes the computer says, stop, we need to just shut some background things down, or your phone, whatever it is, to just get it running more efficiently. That's the same for us. And inshallah, I want that to kind of come up for you as a practical takeaway for yourself personally, to think what needs to be closed so that I can really open up what needs to open up. Certain tabs, we have to actually shut it down actively. So I'm not going to give that energy, time, or focus by my own choice, because here are the things that I actually want to do, or this is what I need to kind of get running smoother and get running clearer and more efficiently in my life as a Muslim. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are two blessings which many people take for granted. Who knows what they are? Two things in this hadith. Anyway. Yes?
Time and umr.
Good. Yeah, health and free time. Health and free time. We waste our health and we waste our free time. But all of us, I think maybe 99% of us in the room will say, free time? What free time? I don't have free time. We should have free time, but we don't have any because we're wasting all of it. SubhanAllah. We're wasting all of it. We're losing all of it. We're distracting ourselves with the mundane things which are taking away the blessing of our time, and then our health. Our health dissipates because we're not meant to run this high. Like, it's like running, you know, when they say, like, your random example, you know, your rocket blender, they say you just whiz it a little bit and turn it off. If you whiz it too long, it burns the motor out. We are whizzing like this day after day, from the moment we open our eyes until the moment we go to sleep. And even in our sleep, we're like twitching, waking up, right? Not sleeping well. Some people will have chronic insomnia. Right, not sleeping well, body weight, you wake up, you feel like you haven't slept, your body's hurting, right? So this is very important for us to realize what we waste. We're in a time now, the economy of our time now, we think the economy is about money, yeah? The economy now is called the attention economy. The world we live in now is about capitalizing on your attention. If your attention can be grabbed, then money can be made out of you. If I grab your attention for you to go onto my app and chat on my app or browse on my app or shop on my website and I get your attention, I can make money out of you. I can collect your data and I can sell your online identity. The attention economy is to pull you away from living your real life and pull you into a digital life so you can be plugged in to a machine and the life force can be sucked out of you, which it does. You know, when you've gotten off your phone, you're like, oh my God, how did I spend an hour and a half? Where did it go? And you actually feel like your brain, everything's liquefied, subhanAllah. It's been sucked out of you. And then you have no attention and focus left because it's all gone on the mundane. And we're going to talk about that, inshallah. The attention economy feeds off your anxiety. If it can make you anxious, it's going to make money off you. If it can, it feeds off your envy. When you are running on envy, they have, she has, she looks like, they know they have this, that. When you have envy, then you can be monopolized, right? It makes you weak. If you're an envious person, I can make you feel like, oh, you want what she's got? Come, I'll help you get what she's got. Buy this, listen to me, watch this more, right? And the other thing is distraction. Keep you distracted. I think I mentioned this last time. We talked about like news feeds. News feeds on everything now, whether it's your WhatsApp you're flicking through, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, just your general news, news.com.au. This scrolling movement, you know what a poker machine does? Pokies. You put your $1 in, you go ching, and it goes ding, 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 and then it stops somewhere, and you're hoping that you get something that goes jackpot, and you get your $4, and you just spent $400 doing this, right? You just spent 400 hours, and then you got to watch 10 things that made you laugh or that were like, oh, that's interesting. You're actually looking for something to give you a novelty fix, which is a dopamine hit, gets released in your brain. It's a type of drug. So the anxiety, the envy, the distraction, all of that capitalizes on your attention. You have, and we're wondering, why can't we focus? Because our attention is being pulled away constantly. So you have to know what is trying to take my attention, who is trying to take my attention, and what is the price of that? The price of that is your life. Your time and your health is your life. And it is taken away from you. Often from all of us without us even realizing it. Once you realize and you take your power back, you start taking back control of your life, because once upon a time, our mothers and grandmothers had control of their lives. Digital devices didn't control their lives. They were focused on their families, on feeding their families proper food, on their children, on running homes, on looking after their husbands, their extended community, on their deen. Could you imagine the khushu' in their salah without the things that we have to worry about, or the things that we'd just seen flipped in front of our eyes, the 300 images that you woke up after Fajr, you did your adhkar, then you went on your newsfeed and you saw 300 images of useless nonsense, which implanted in your brain, probably overlaying our hifz, because now we can't memorize anymore, right? There's all these layers. Our mothers didn't have these issues. They had clarity of mind and likely a lot more peace of heart than what we have, and a lot less agitation. This word, even anxiety. Did our mothers say, I was very anxious as a child? They don't have that word. It doesn't exist. They were a lot more resilient. People now are afraid to be alone with their thoughts. That's why there's noise. That's why there's distraction all the time. People are very scared to be on their own. And people will say, I get anxious if I'm alone. I get anxious if it's quiet. We're afraid to be alone with our thoughts. Philosopher and boredom theorist, what a career, boredom theorist Blaise Pascal in the 1600s, he said, all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. He writes that the present hurts, now it hurts, and our response is to look ceaselessly for fresh purposes that draw our attention outwards away from ourselves, because we don't want to be alone with ourselves. It's too confronting. You have to meet your ruh, you have to meet your soul, who you are, your accountability. I don't like myself. She scares me. I don't want to know her. When you're ready to face and confront that, then you are living, and it hurts to see yourself. It hurts to sit with yourself. We live in an age of noise now, and silence is almost extinct. When do you get silence? Do you know what I love? Something that only used to happen when I was a child. I used to live in the country. I love it now when the power goes out, because there's this quiet that you don't normally hear. Normally there's this constant hum that electricity makes, or hum of cars. We don't even know what silence is anymore, true silence, subhanAllah. That's like a novelty that we cannot really imagine, you know, the sound of silence. It's almost extinct now. There was an experiment done by the University of Virginia and the Harvard University. They put people in a room alone for 6 to 15 minutes. Most of them said they felt discomfort, and they found it difficult to concentrate. a third of the people who did the test at home broke the rules and cut the time short. They're like, they couldn't sit between 6 and 15 minutes. There was an option they added to the test, and I go, let's see how weak and miserable human beings are. They said, okay, there's an electric shock option. If you press the buzzer, you'll get a shock, but it will reduce the time you have to sit alone. The people had to try the shock first, and it did hurt. It hurt, right? What do you think? How many people do you think administered the buzzer? Half of the people electrocuted themselves to cut the time shorter because the 15 minute was that unbearable alone in a room. One person pushed the button 190 times. It was just to get the time to go because they just went out of that room. But isn't that us now? When this gets picked up, we sit back, we have about 10 seconds, it gets picked up. This is the buzzer now, the modern day buzzer. You have to pick it up to soothe, distract, instead of sitting alone. But what is our tradition? Our tradition is to sit and make adhkar. Do you remember one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, or was it one of the companions, left his home and went out in the morning, and I think it was Aisha, one of the female sahabiya, she was making a dhikr, and he came back towards midday and she was still making it. Look at the time that they were able to sit, hours, just in the dhikr of Allah. Got some spare time, I'm just going to make dhikr and reflect, ponder, and increase in my love and remembrance of Allah. Make istighfar. Think about Allah's greatness for hours on end. And in that hadith, you can learn it. There's a beautiful hack that was given. If you say this dua, this adhkar 3 times, it'll suffice that whole time that you spent. Alhamdulillah, we even have shortcuts for those of us who don't have the time. But look at how they were able to sit in stillness. So that experiment, it's quite shocking what human beings are like. We're very distressed when we're alone. We're very distressed when we're in quiet. And because it's almost non-existent now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his prophethood came to him where? In the isolation of a cave, in the quiet solitude of a cave. What is the impact of distraction and lack of focus? So distractions, they keep us from doing the actual things that we want to do. I'm going to read something to you. Talking about the attention economy. We experience the externalities of the attention economy in little drips, and we tend to describe them in words of mild bemusement, like annoying or distracting. You know, when things just ping, your phone pings, whatever, it's annoying, it's distracting. But this is a grave misreading of their nature. In short term, distractions can keep us from doing the things that we want to do. In the long term, however, they can accumulate and keep us from living the lives we want to live, or even worse, undermine our capacities for reflection and self-regulation, making it harder, in the words of Harry Frankfurt, to want what we want to want. Thus, there are deep ethical implications lurking here for freedom, well-being, and even the integrity of the self. We are in times now where people feel like they're not living their own life. We feel like we're like, who am I? What am I meant to do? I'm not doing what I'm meant to do. I'm not manifesting the way I know I should manifest. Something is robbing us of our lives, something very pervasive, and it's only going to increase unless we become more aware. Again, Seneca, 2000 years ago, he said, life is very short and anxious for those who forget the past. They don't reflect, they don't learn from it. Those who neglect the present, they don't live now. What do I need to do now? And they fear the future. Life is very short and anxious for those people. When they come to the end of it, the poor wretches realize too late that for all this time, they've been preoccupied in doing nothing. Once upon a time, the people before us, in the span of a couple of years, look at Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 23 years, the empire he built in 23 years. Some of us are double 23. Some of us are in our 40s. Some of us are in our 30s. What did they do and achieve and build and out of their effort and sacrifice and focus? Now we'll get to the end of our lives. We go, what did I manifest? I tried so many times to read Quran and then I gave up. I kept giving up. Why did I keep giving up all those years? Why didn't I read more of the tafsir? Why didn't I go to that class every Tuesday night? Why did I just stay home and just cook and clean? The cooking and cleaning was always waiting. I should have gone to that class. Why didn't I volunteer and help to build something and make something so that the next generation could benefit from it? We are preoccupied in doing nothing or building nothing. Every day you have to assess yourself at the end of each day. What did I do today that built something for myself or for others or for the akhirah or for some kind of goodness or for some kind of benefit or learning? If the day has passed and you haven't done anything, you haven't built anything of goodness, don't sleep until you do. Read something, do something kind, you know, make an effort, make some kind of effort. So what are we distracted with? Give me some ideas. Shout them out.
Phones.
Sorry?
Phones.
Phones, yeah.
Work.
Sorry?
With everything.
Talking. Mm. Auntie, talking.
She's just talking.
Too much talking. Yeah. What else? That's all?
Children?
Yeah. No, sorry?
I said work because someone's
work.
You just went to it more and more and more. Work overtakes your life. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, work, studies. Yeah. We feel distracted by things. Some things are priorities essential for survival. They have to take an element of your focus and they become an act of worship. If it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for your family, to, you know, have a halal income, it's not a bad thing to strive in the worldly sense for things which will build strength for your family or your community and stability and security. Some things are you're responsible for. Some things are fard, compulsory on you. But again, we have to make sure we keep things in balance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Ra'd, Allah says, Allahu yabsutu ar-rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ. Allah extends provision for who He wills and He restricts it. And they rejoice in the worldly life, while the worldly life is not compared to the hereafter, except a brief enjoyment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the mindset we're meant to have all throughout the Quran. When we look at ourselves or our community and we have this skewed mindset, it's because we've moved away from the mindset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to have and trains us to have in the Quran. We've started to develop our own worldly mindsets, Western mindsets, modernist mindsets, liberal mindsets, feminist mindsets, secular mindsets. These things creep in and we lose our identity. Our identity is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to see things. And He reminds us, Allah provides for who He wills and He restricts for who He wills. You work hard, but whatever is decreed for you, it's written and Allah will give it. If He withholds from you, you're not going to get it. And people rejoice in the worldly life. This is where it's all at. Indulge, consume until it makes you sick. This world is like, you know, junk food, a table of desserts. If you devour it, you're just going to be sitting there and you're going to be sick. You're going to feel horrible. But if you sit there and you say, that's not healthy, that's not a good choice, this is what I will have out of the buffet that is good or in moderation, different story. You feel good and you're composed. Allah says the worldly life is not compared to the hereafter except a brief enjoyment. And Allah also says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is but goods and chattels of deception. If Allah says that in this world, it's just dunya, worldly material things and chattels of deception. This world is full of deception. So if I ask you, what do you know is a deception in the world that we live in today? In economics, in politics, in ideologies, in the education system? Can we pinpoint them? A lot of us will struggle. We are actually consuming the deception and not able to identify this has some poison in it, that has some poison in it, this isn't healthy, that's not halal. We've lost that ability to discern. Whereas once upon a time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, they were so diligent, they were so careful and wary, watching who's that, what are they teaching, how are they influencing us, don't listen to that newsreader, don't listen to that. Now, mashallah, we take all the information, we forward random things, no one proof checks anything, then we pass on like it's haq. We pass on the baqi like it's haq, and the actual haq, the Quran, the sunnah, like we don't even share it with each other. Everyone's bored of it. Oh, another ayah. Skim past it. We distract ourselves with entertainment. Guess what the average Netflix consumption is in Australia per day? The average in Australia per day is about 3.4 hours. MashaAllah, on top of studies and work, we have 3.4 hours, chores and all that, 3.4 hours to watch stuff a day. Once upon a time, that 3 to 4 hours was spent becoming scholars, young people, especially the next generation, becoming scholars, right? Studying their religion, learning the sciences. For grown adults, you could be building an expertise. You could be becoming a hafilah. You could be building some kind of, business or community project. 3 hours a day. That's 21 hours a week. We're not building. We're sucked into this distraction.
Sorry, I have to butt in there. Yeah. A lot of that time, there's a lot of people that do it while they're cleaning, while they're washing up, while they're doing housework and stuff, not just sitting there watching Netflix the whole time. So I don't know if that's a true, like 3.4 hours, that's a lot of time. I don't know.
That's the latest stats.
But does that say...
The average Australian, yeah.
Actually sits there and doesn't have any.
I don't know how you would watch a Netflix series while doing something. Like
I do that.
Mm.
Like I'll be washing up and I will just have a series on.
Yeah.
In the background.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, but I don't sit down. I don't have 3.4 hours sitting there. So all I do is while I'm doing housework.
Multitasking.
But it's not just me. There's so many of my friends that do it. So is that? That's what I want to know. Is that stat? Actually, people sitting there watching it.
What they're doing while they're watching, but that's just the average consumption of Netflix per day in Australia by Australian consumers.
On average,
so that's the average use per day. So that's the one of the, I guess, distractions. People could be listening to podcasts or they could be listening to something else as well. Like there's a choice that we make in what we consume in that time. Each of us make that choice. We know ourselves what we do with our time in between while we're in the commute to work and back. What are we watching and listening to? Is it growing us or is it shrinking us? Is it distracting us? I was listening to a talk this morning by a sheikh and he was saying that he has clients, men and women, they come and after they watch series together, show series, sitcom type series, they come and they have these, they fight, they explain to this ustad that they fight after they watch this and they don't know why. He says, because it's affecting your subliminal emotional charge between you and your spouse because you are taking in everything we watch, he said, we take in and our bodies absorb it and there's energy connected to that. What we see with the eye, that one of the quickest gateways to the heart and to impact the heart is the gaze, the eye. So subhanAllah, in that example, the ustad was just saying that they'll fight after they've watched their show, their program and their sitcom. So we have to understand we are impacted by the content that we consume. It does affect us. Another thing that we're distracted by is the collecting of material possessions. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Surah At-Takathur, Al-Haakum At-Takathur Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir. The mutual rivalry for the piling up of worldly things diverts you. Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir. Until you visit the grave. Then that stuff that you were worried about compiling, all of a sudden it doesn't distract you anymore. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the son of Adam says, my wealth, but your wealth is what you eat and consume, or it's what you wear and then it wears out, or what you give in charity and you send ahead for the hereafter. So what is your wealth, sisters? It's what you eat and consume, goes in your mouth and comes out the other end in the bathroom. It's what you wear and it wears out. It's worth something now. I just bought it. Once it has a hole, I'm like, I don't want it anymore. It loses value. Or it's what you give in charity and you send it for your akhirah. So which of your wealth, my wealth, is the true investment? It's what you give away in sadaqah. Anything else you spend it on, it doesn't have the same weight. We're also distracted with news and gossip. Mashallah, we have like relentless streams of that coming through. We are distracted by our problems and our traumas, which are ongoing and never end. SubhanAllah, where you think one situation ends and then another one opens up with another member of the family, or they all come in at once. There's always something which is which we're being tested by and which distract us, which cause mental, spiritual distraction. We're distracted by apps as well. The different social media apps. I'm not sure if I'm going to read this. I won't read that quote. It's a bit long. We're distracted by information overload. There are various academic articles about information overload. And now more than ever, we suffer from information overload. Before you've even left the house to go to work or to school in the morning, you've already been exposed to multiple hundreds of points of information, and the brain is not designed to have to flick so instantaneously from one topic to another. And I've talked about this before. We expose ourselves to a story, a photo of a cat, and it's so cute. And then it goes to a charity video of starving kids. And then it goes to a lady dancing. And then it goes to a hijab tutorial. And then it goes to some crisis happening somewhere else. And then it goes to LGBTQI rights. In 1 minute, literally in 1 minute of just a quick scroll, 13, 14, 15 different topics. And your brain's gone. Nothing's actually absorbed. Nothing's able to take root. Nothing's able to give fruit. You know, you don't even have time to reflect on an actual point or idea. So when we talk about the struggle to focus, the information overload is a big part of that. An excess of banal content distracts people from serious or collective issues. What's banal content? It's irrelevant things. When we have an excess of that, it distracts us from what are serious collective issues. When we are looking through random points of information, what actually matters, your kids, their spirituality, their well-being, their manners, the care of your home, your relationship with your spouse, your family, checking on your parents, you get distracted from that. What's happening in your Muslim community? What's happening at the Muslim school for your kids? We get distracted from that because all this stuff is taking all of our mental energy. It also attributes or connects with not being able to maintain a coherent train of thought. And when unable to communicate effectively with others because of this inability to maintain a coherent train of thought. Without space and time, that dialogue with ourselves, the dialogues with our friends, the dialogue with other people, they will not only die, but they'll never be born in the first place. And that's a quote from this book, How to Do Nothing, which I don't encourage you to do nothing, but it's an interesting book. You know, I could read out examples of you what would be shown in a simple newsfeed, and you'll be like, wow, SubhanAllah, I didn't realize that. I'm only telling you this to make you aware. That's all I can do, equip you with things to make you more aware so that you're more of a conscious consumer. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like the thought of the wool being pulled over my eyes. I don't like the thought of being treated like I'm some sheepish robotic consumer. I don't like that. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. We're the leaders of the earth. We need to have clear minds. We need to be free thinking. We need to have strong will, and we need to have strong spines about truth, about reality, and about not being taken advantage of. The hadith that we know is manifest that, you know, the nations will come and they'll feast on you. That's what we were foretold about our ummah. And we look at the times now and we're like, oh, subhanAllah, is that what's happening to us now? The Uyghur people, is that what's happening now? The people from Burma, Burmese, you know, our brothers and sisters, the Rohingyans, who's coming to their aid? You and I, are we the heroes? Are we the saviors? We all say someone else, someone else. These people are crying. I work for a charity. I watch the videos every day of people in Palestine, of people in all different parts of the world, in concentration camps and refugee camps for decades at a time. Where's the ummah? Where? Who's answering? We keep saying who else, someone else, because we're busy distracted. So we don't think we are the ones responsible for helping. We are all collectively responsible. In Islam, we have the concept of fard ayn and fard kifaya. Fard ayn is what each person has a responsibility. You have a responsibility to know how to pray, each and every one of you. It's fard kifaya that someone in the community teaches the group how to pray. Then you have to know how to pray and take on that individual responsibility, right? We have collective responsibility for each other. You know, if our sister Maha is sick, it's all of our responsibility to check on her. Not only Chantel, not only Halmia, it's all of us. Is she okay? Whoever's in proximity, actually her neighbors are whoever lives closest to her, you know, is more accountable, inshallah. So we have to feel that collective responsibility. Another thing we're distracted by is low quality information. What we are fed in our news feeds and what goes viral is what is often the lowest common denominator of agreeable content. What goes viral, something that everyone goes, oh, that was cool. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's interesting. The more nods it gets, the more it goes viral and gets shared. It doesn't mean it is the haq. It doesn't mean it's high quality content and information that deserves your attention. And that's the problem. Those are the things that get forwarded. Those are the things that come up most in the news feeds. It doesn't mean it's good content. And my boss, panel at a charity, said the social media platforms have put a mute on anything that tags Islam, Muslim, and all those related words. So you think our religious content is going to get the forefront of the news feed? Of course not. The agendas don't want us to give da'wah to the wider public. They don't want our own Muslim community to get stronger. They want us weaker, so feed us more garbage, more junk food, not nutritious, organic nourishment. SubhanAllah. And you get whatever low-quality information or whatever your algorithm throws you as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this world, its pleasures and duration in comparison with the hereafter is similar to the amount of water one gets when he puts his finger in the sea. Let him see what he returns with it. See Lake Illawarra over there? If we dipped our pinky finger in it and it came out, how much water compared to the lake, the ocean, all the oceans in the world would come out on your finger? Very little. That's the weight of this world compared to the next, right? That's the value. That's the taste. It's so insignificant. Yet so much is invested in making it look like this is the be-all and the end-all. We're also distracted by self-soothing and self-righteousness. Self-soothing and self-righteousness. Remember I said we can't sit alone and we grab this to give some kind of soothing. Then the content you see on there soothes you. You see a post and you're like, oh, that I relate to that. That's me. That's happened to me. And then you reshare it and you're like, 100%, or you do a hashtag, whatever, me too, whatever it is, right? So it makes you feel better. And self-righteousness, like, yeah, don't you hate it when people do that? You reshare something that makes you feel like, yeah, I don't like people who do that. Unfortunately, we never learn anything, if we follow that way, about ourselves that surprises or that challenges or that changes us. All we have around us in our bubbles are just pat on the back. Pat on the back. You're good. You're good. You're good as you are. Don't change. Don't grow. Don't become a tall poppy. Don't become someone who's striving for more than us, the collective. Like, get back down. You know, you're in a group of sisters, you're having a coffee day, and you're like, I really want to study, join a Quran class. And they're like, how are you going to have time? We don't have time. How are you going to have time? Do you reckon? But like, I don't know. It's been in my mind. I really think I need to, you know, work on my Quran. No, you're so busy. You can't. Why? That environment, that energy, that group don't want you to rise above because it makes them feel inadequate. Sometimes, if that's the company you keep, you have to figure that out. Might be family members. Why? What for? Why? Right? Undermining. That can happen sometimes. So you want to be around energy and influence that surprises, challenges, or changes you. Things that you don't want to hear. Things you don't want to hear about yourself. Things that whip you into action and change. Things that reprimand you. Often too, we don't see what our privilege is. We don't see how blessed we are because we expose ourselves to things and distractions that make us lose focus on how grateful we should be, because we should be so grateful. Alhamdulillah, we should be so grateful. we're told that if you had to count the blessings of Allah, you wouldn't be able to count them. What's worse is we don't even bother trying to count. We're busy listing what's not good enough in our lives, what we don't have enough of, and how poor we are. Poor us. Poor us. You know, we had a video with the charity that for Qurban. They asked these kids in refugee camps. These kids don't have closed shoes in winter. They have old clothes. They have unbrushed hair. They asked them, if you got Qurban meat for Eid al-Adha, what would you do with it? Do you know what these kids said straight away? Guess what they said? Not even share. They said, I'll give it to someone who needs it. They don't see themselves as needing it. They see that they feel that they have enough. They say, I would give it to someone else who needs it. I'll give it to someone who needs it. We should think about that. There's an attitude and a heart that they're growing up with the little that they have that we don't have, that our kids don't have, that we want our kids to have. It's scary. We've become ungrateful and we ascribe to ourselves an unnecessary victimhood. We act and live like we're so hard done by, like the world has just turned against us and not given us enough and we've just gotten a bad handout. We know nothing of what people go through and endure. We have no idea. Some of us may have had some enormous hardships, no doubt. But compared to others who live in a state of utter gratitude, compared to them, we've got a lot to be grateful for. Jenny Odell, the author of this book, How to Do Nothing, she says, unless we are vigilant, the current design of much of our technology will block us every step of the way, deliberately creating false targets for self-reflection, curiosity, and a desire to belong to a community. I want to read that again. I want you to listen carefully. Unless we are vigilant, the current design of much of our technology will block us every step of the way. And what does this technology create? It deliberately creates false targets for self-reflection. It's shaping what you should reflect about. False targets for your curiosity. Ooh, what's that? What's that new thing? What's that trend? And a desire to belong to a community. That's what all those women are saying. That's what's trending. Everyone's resharing that. That's what's hashtagging, trending of how to be. That must be, okay, I want to be a mum like that. I want to be a woman like that. Or we look in our own community, the huge rise in LGBTQI support in our Muslim community. To belong to a community, that's what's trending, you know, in the universities and whatnot. So our girls want to belong to that community. So what should we focus on or what do we need to focus on? You guys tell me. Akhirah. What else? Anything else? Yes?
For me, I think I focus on
getting healthier. Getting healthier. Yep. Inshallah. Anything else? Welcome. What should we be focusing on? What do we need to focus on?
Our prayer.
Our prayer. Yep.
People.
Yep. Good.
How we spend our time.
How we spend our time.
Our families.
Our akhlaq. Yep. Our nafs. Yeah. Ourself. Our egos, our hearts, our minds,
what we say,
our speech, our impulse control, our discipline. Yes?
I'm saying shifting our focus. That thing doesn't.
Yep. Shifting our focus. Yep. This brainstorm, I've done it for a long time, maybe 15 years. When I first started doing little programs in the community, I used to have the board up or we'd have it as a worksheet. We would have what's important and what's not important. But first we do the what's not important. What do we focus on in life? Basically, what are our distractions that we listed before? We used to come up with a lot of things. What's changed now, just in 15 years, is now largely people say phone. It wasn't back even, subhanAllah, 15 years ago, the way it is now, the phone and social media. Social media is technically quite new. In 15 years, how it's changed us, it's changed society, it's changed the world. And the brainstorm of what we should focus on, we used to come up with a huge list. People would say Quran, the five pillars, the articles of Iman, seeking knowledge, our health and well-being, our, you know, all sorts of things that are important in life. What we've lost now even is the ability to map that out, what isn't important and what is important. And everyone should go home and do this on your paper or whatnot. What do you do that you know isn't that important, that takes up a lot of your time? Or say, what are my distractions and what do I want to focus on? And that list should be very clear, a very clear list. Even things like knowing what you stand for and what are your priorities and what are your values, they should be very clear. You should be able to come up with it like that. The scholar said, the one who knows himself knows Allah. We don't even know ourselves anymore. We don't know what we want. We don't know what we need to do. We don't know what we need to change. We've forgotten how to define ourselves in a time where we have more knowledge at our fingertips than ever. We're so connected to the world outside ourselves, but we're not connected to ourselves right here, so that this self, you, can be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've lost grip because there are all these invisible threads pulling out all the pieces of you. The sister Chantel's got that poncho on. See those strings? If I pull one by one, each little reel, she's going to be left what? You're left stuck, bare, naked. There's nothing to you. You feel vulnerable. And people can't sit alone. People can't sit in the quiet. They don't know who they are. They don't know who Allah is. They're naked in the world. And then the devils can take what they want from you. Right? You rob you of your identity. Rob you of your identity as a human being, as a woman, as a Muslimah. What's left? What's left? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes?
Sorry, I was going to say, can social media be used in a positive way?
Absolutely, it can be used in a positive way, but you have to, keyword filter. You filter everything. And the other word, vigilance. Filtration and vigilance is really important. You have to use it so restrictedly.
What did she say? Sorry, I couldn't hear.
She said, can you use social media in a positive way? Absolutely, but there's risks to it always, but you have to be aware of it. You have to know what are your vices, what are your weak points, what's the healthy way to use it, what are the intentions behind using it. It's not easy. We don't even control our tongues moment to moment, subhanAllah, right? We say things, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or that was backbiting, let alone having this in the palm of our hands, which no one taught us to use it. No one made us qualify before we could have it and use it. Same way with kids having devices now. We never make them qualify before they can have it. Some families do. They have to do certain things before they're allowed to have it. But us ourselves, we weren't trained in how to use it. We weren't taught about the pitfalls and the vices of it. But it's about using it consciously, not mindlessly, and purposefully. Use it with purpose. You can, inshallah, keep it safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, be mindful of your Lord. And fear a day when no parent will take the place of their child, nor a child take the place of their parent in any way. God's promise is true, so do not let the present life delude you, nor let the deceiver delude you about God. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any action without the remembrance of God, any action without the remembrance of God is either a diversion or heedlessness. Two things. Any action without the remembrance of God, it's either a diversion or a heedlessness, except for four things, which were permissible hobbies or things that you can learn that are, I guess, permissible entertainment. Walking from target to target, archery practice, training a horse, playing with your family, and learning to swim. Those four things, he said, this is good. There's khair in it. But anything other than that, it's a diversion or heedlessness. You've got to watch that you don't fall into heedlessness or diversion from it.
Can we have the Arabic version?
I don't have it in Arabic, sister.
Did you say walking from what?
Walking from target to target during archery practice.
I heard it as target the shopping center. Okay, I get it now. So four things.
So the archery, horse riding, playing with your family, and learning to swim. These are the four things to spend your spare time doing. Other things, it can be diversion or heedlessness.
Can you open up about walking from target to target?
It's archery. You know, when you're going from your moving from target to target, practicing archery.
Right. No, I know archery, but that's okay.
I thought maybe there's another store called archery. I don't know.
Target to archery, guys.
I'm quite old now.
Uthman ibn Affan narrated that his father said, Zayd ibn Thabit departed from Marwan at midday. I said, he has not sent him out at this time of the day except for something that he asked. So I asked him, and he said, he asked me about some of the things we heard from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which we heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised. Whoever is focused only on this world, Allah will confound his affairs and make him fear poverty constantly. And he will not get anything out of this world except for what has been decreed for him. Whoever is focused on the akhirah, the hereafter, Allah will settle his affairs and make him feel content with his lot and his provision, and worldly gains will undoubtedly come to him. If you focus on the worldly only, that's your focus, it will always confound you. It's always going to leave you empty-handed. But if you focus on the akhirah, Allah will take care of your worldly affairs, make things settled for you, give you a sense of contentment. So what you focus on is up to you. I'm going to close with some tips for focus and then send you on your way, inshallah. Sorry for going a little bit over time. We started about 10 minutes later. So tips for focus. Number one, very important. If you want to gain focus, you have to disengage from what is distracting you. We ran through some of those examples now. Okay, you have to disengage, unplug, untie. Okay, you have to disengage before you can consciously select what you want to re-engage in. And they say one thing at a time. Very important. Focus on one thing at a time. The Quran should be a part of your lifestyle. That's a very important tip for focus. If you focus on your Quran as your like staple per day, that's going to help you get a focused mindset instead of someone who's all over the place, because it's going to help you prioritize. We have to wake up. We have to wake up. Even today, we had the option of sitting at the table. I didn't want to sit at the table. It's just different. When I sat with my teacher and when I used to teach my students, we used to just sit really close, knee to knee on the floor. Is there discomfort? Yeah. Like I can feel the blood circulation. I'm getting pins and needles. I have to adjust. But that discomfort keeps you diligent and alert, right? If I'm sitting back leaning on a wall, that's not me showing respect to you. And, you know, this is an engagement here. There's energy transfer. There's energy transfer between you sitting with others, how close you sit with another, how close you pull each other in. And the companions, when they used to sit listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said that sometimes it was like you could perch a bird on their head. That's how still they'd sit listening, you know, wanting to take and eager to take. So we have to wake up. Sorry, this microphone's coming on here. There it is. Martin Luther King Jr. I want to relate this to you thinking about now, the times that we're in now. Times are changing, yeah, and they're changing fast. And you either fall into the changes that happen and you just become like part of the tsunami of the changes and get washed away in it, or you take yourself to safe grounds. I would always have these little dreams every now and then of like a tsunami, and I'd be like trying to think, which kid do I carry? Who do I save? SubhanAllah. The tsunami now is of ideas, of fitna, of the corruption of the times, and the domino effect of the end of times approaching. We have to think about where are the safe perches to take ourselves and our families and our community to be safe. Martin Luther King Jr. says, one of the great liabilities of history is that all too many people fail to remain awake through great periods of social change. Every society has its protectors of status quo and its fraternities of the indifferent, who are notorious for sleeping through revolutions. Today, our very survival depends on our ability to stay awake, to adjust to new ideas, to remain vigilant, and to face the challenge of change. So the reminder for this point is to wake up, for us to wake up and to be vigilant. Who needs protecting now? Who needs us to speak for them now? Who needs protection now? Who do we need to watch out for? Who has conspicuous ideas trying to penetrate our community, our kids' minds, the psyches of wider society? Who's trying to pull the wool over our eyes? Do we just sit and just trust the masses, the world of disbelief and kufr to take care of us and the affairs of our future? We're the pest. We are the cockroaches that they want to exterminate. Do we not realize that? Believing in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you are a pest. You're a speck in the eye of the one-eyed monster that doesn't want belief in God. When you believe in God and you have faith and conviction in Allah as your protector and you have a way to live according to a law and a sharia and you have a standard, you become a big threat, a big threat. But so long as we are like the foam on the sea, we have wahan in our hearts, love of the world and fear of death, we're not a threat at all, so long as we stay asleep. We shouldn't be able to sleep at night. We should be in restlessness and fever that our ummah are suffering, that people are not sleeping through the night because it's so cold, that they are not eating for days because they are hungry, that there are millions of people in Yemen and babies and children in starvation while our kids eat themselves to obesity. Do you see the imbalance in the world that we are a part of, that imbalance? We have to be part of the change. In one of these books, it says you only need 3.5% of a population to resist and you can turn things around. Three and a half people out of every 100, if they stand together and they say, we will not obey injustice, we will not obey and follow and conform to wrongdoing, you can turn things around. It doesn't even take that many. We think, oh, we need a majority, we're too weak. No, it takes a few with a strong backbone to make the change. This is what we saw of the Sahaba. I just watched the other week that beautiful cartoon. You have to watch it. I kept crying through it. The one about Bilal. Have you guys seen it? Amazing. I just had goosebumps all the time. Bilal. A high quality cartoon, but amazing. Starts with a few who stand for something. Solitude, as we mentioned, we have to learn how to be alone. We have to learn to be still. We have to learn to be quiet. We have to learn to breathe. We have to learn to sit and make dhikr. We have to learn to have khushu' in our salah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, anyone who performs ablution and does it well, and he stands and offers 2 units of prayer, and he concentrates on it with his heart and his body, paradise will be his lot by all means. You love the salah, paradise is yours, inshallah. Learn how to observe, to watch things, to pay attention. A poem by William Blake says, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and an eternity in an hour. To see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. Can you pay attention to the small things and see the beauty of the small things? That's how you gain focus. We can watch a million videos that we go, wow, what an awesome video. Or you can look at a flower for 10 minutes and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beauty of that flower. One flower I was amazed at when I saw was a passion fruit flower. Have you seen it? It looks like a person going like this. It has a face and everything. SubhanAllah. Amazing. Amazing. In nature, you'll see the mirror and the echo of everything else in the universe. It's amazing. Everything is in patterns. Allah designed things in patterns. That's why you see certain fruits look like the organ that it helps. Walnut looks like the brain. And oh, wow, right? We should notice those things. But there's so much that we don't notice because we don't pay attention anymore. Reflection and self-assessment, very important. Seneca says, life is very short and anxious for those who forget the past. We read that one. All this time we've been preoccupied with doing nothing. Learn to listen. This is what's very hard. We don't listen properly. We don't listen anymore. We don't know how to pay attention long enough to listen to anything more than 8 seconds, or these as videos, 60 seconds, 15 seconds, 90 seconds. Our attention span is so small. In nature, I grew up hunting with my father. When we go and we hunt, we have to tiptoe through the bush. We have to make sure where the wind is coming from, that we're going in the opposite direction, because the wind, if it blows through us and the animal is behind us, they're going to smell us coming. So we have to watch the wind. We have to know the sound. You step on a stick wrong and the animal goes and it runs. In nature, listening is survival for that animal. You watch those David Attenborough on the prairies of the Sahara Desert, right? Right? Any little noise and the impala just runs. In nature, listening is survival. Now, in our lives, listening is also survival, and we are dying because we don't listen. Our souls are dying, our intellects are dying, our energy levels are dying because we don't listen anymore. We have to learn how to think. We have to learn how to write. I hope everybody writes. You have to write. You have to put your thoughts on paper. Most kids are leaving school, they don't know how to write. Express themselves, write lines of poetry, write an essay, write what they're feeling and thinking, let alone even speak. We have to even learn how to speak. You ask a young person, what do you think about the world that we live in now? I don't know. Does anything bother you? Not really. Mom, can we get Uber Eats? Right? We can't, like, where's the higher thinking? And that, again, that ties into a lot of things to do with the education system, the prolonged adolescence. Once upon a time, teenagers didn't exist. Did you know that? You went from child to young adult, khalas, you enter the adult world like that. Now, a decade of teenagehood where you just muck around and everyone makes excuses for how dopey and silly you're being. Whereas once upon a time, it was like, all right, you can think, you can speak, you can carry some responsibility. You go now with your baba to work, or you help your mum with this or that, or you go and live with your uncle and help on the farm. Mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, married by 10, 11, 12. Now it's like 21, 25 years old. I was talking to 25. She's like, I don't know who I am. Habibti, you're 25. When I was 25, I had 3 kids. My eldest was 8 years old. I started very young. I don't advise that to anyone these days, that's for sure. But like, look at what's happened. You're a quarter way through your life at 25, or a third of your way through life. So we have to learn how to speak and think and write. We have to cure ourselves of boredom. A very interesting quote about boredom, but we don't have time for that. Get out in nature. Glenn Albrecht, he coined a term called sostalgia. He's an Aussie sustainability professor. He says it's the terrible existential homesickness from nature, nostalgia. We really miss nature because we don't get out in it enough. Become disciplined. Discipline involves strict alignment with one's own laws over and against prevailing laws and habits. Hold yourself to a stern assessment. Very, very important if you want to gain focus. And remind yourself of the purpose of our lives. What is the purpose of our life, sisters? We should know this. To worship Allah. Yeah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I've not created jinn and mankind except to worship me. You want focus? Focus on that. Turn everything you do into worship so that you end up critiquing everything that you do. If this isn't worship, I shouldn't be doing it. If this time spent can't be categorized as worship, I'll stop doing that. Try to turn things into worship, even your leisure time, even your downtime, even when it is watching something, choose something which isn't as bad as something you technically want to watch that everyone else is saying, watch it, watch it. You're like, no, that one's just got too much bad stuff in it. Or the theme of it isn't good. Choose something better. Always choose better because you deserve better. You deserve to honor yourself better. You deserve to honor your time better because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves the best of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, I end. Sorry for the interesting haphazard style of this reminder talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and make it beneficial to all of us. First, starting with me. May we correct ourselves, from the inside out and correct our relationship with ourselves, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the people around us. Jazakallah khair to the sisters who were tuning in online. It's nice to have the sisters connecting with us, alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anyone has any questions, feel free to ask. Comments box, come on the mic or in the room here as well. We'll take a couple of minutes of questions, inshallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. No questions? Everyone's all set? Super focused? Or just overwhelmed more?
Big day.
Alhamdulillah. Sorry? There's a lot of different areas. It's a big topic.